The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The cream of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Good afternoon, everybody. A little bit different time for Top Rope Nation today. Episode 355, Ryan Drosty, Justin Joint. It has been almost exactly 24 hours, Justin. I am still on a high from what we saw finish All In yesterday. How are you doing, my friend, here on a Monday afternoon?
Been better, although, you know, I messaged you about this earlier start time, and you asked me, well, when would you be ready? And I said, I'll be good in about 15 minutes, and that's because I have loaded up on medications because I got the Rona. And it hasn't been too bad, just mostly minor symptoms. Headache and body aches have been the worst of it, but it was just one of those things like, you know, the kid, our youngest, came down with it. And so we felt, me and the wife felt good, but like this weekend we had her Christmas present. I bought us tickets to the Moulin Rouge musical in Des Moines.
Ooh.
And that was on Saturday, and we both felt fine. So we're like, well, we're going to mask up and go down, you know, cause that's, you know, big waste of money if we don't go. But by the end of that show and on our way home, which was pretty late, we were both like, uh-oh, I think we both got it. By Sunday morning, it was full blown. And then with All In, that damn Bleacher Report, you know, I watched that show and I've never had this issue before, but it would blink in and out the entire time, like every 5 to 30 seconds. So I spent about the last two, at least the last 2 hours of that show on my phone with their customer support. I talked to like four different people, and finally, literally 10 minutes after the main event ended, I was just like, just give me my money back. And they're like, okay, that's fine. you'll see a refund in the next few days. that they said it would take some time. And I actually called in to work today because I just still felt like crap. So I rewatched a handful of it. And that was a good professional wrestling event, Ryan Drosty. I enjoyed it.
It was awesome, man. And I agree with Andrew here in the chat. You got to use Triller, formerly Fight TV. Now that they're offering that in the US, it's better than Bleacher Report, but I'm glad you got a refund. That's good.
Yeah. It was one of those things like I could bear through it, but it was just so annoying with that blinking.
Yeah. Carl's in the chat here over in the UK, wishing you the best. Justin, I got to tell you, Carl did send me a message on Patreon. He's a patron. He's been on the show many, many times, and he volunteered to do the show. And I would have invited him on, but this was so last minute. When you said you could do the show anytime, I was stunned how early. I was like, hell yeah, give me that afternoon show. The UK fans on, but I thought it was too late to get Carl on. So we'll have to get Carl on here in the future.
Absolutely.
We see John Hope in the chat. John was on this TV almost the entire time on All In yesterday. Patron of the show, John Hope. And he says, grading the show, obviously he's biased, but it was an A-minus show for me. Only DMD and Mercedes and the Jericho match didn't hit or exceed expectations. But he says, Brian Swerve and Osprey MJF were simply incredible. Dude, I raved about it. Just another reason you guys to be a patron. I did the, not to bash BR, but I did the BR app show yesterday, which we didn't have too many problems. That went well. And you know, then I put out our audio review for patrons yesterday. So if you wanted the immediate review of All In from Top Rope Nation, our patrons got it last night, but we're here to talk about it now on the main feed. And because Justin, you didn't get to say your piece yet, And I really appreciate you powering through the Rona today to do this. This is incredible stuff. Give me your grade for All In yesterday.
Well, first off, just for the record, this is the first time I've ever had an issue with the Bleacher Report app, but there's still some stuff that bothers me about it. But for the most part, I've never had this kind of problem. And for the record, if, and especially you, Ryan, I want to apologize. Since we are podcasting so early, my kids are up and running right now. So if you hear like footsteps or thumping and whatnot, that's them being crazy right now. Grade for the show. I think I agree with John Hope at the very, and I didn't love everything. I actually thought there was some just outright bad stuff on this show. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's a little harsh. A minus at least. You know, Ryan, you always say, did it give us a match of the year candidate? It checked that box. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's, you know, did it create this moment that will last, you know, for the rest of our lives? And I say yes to that with Danielson winning that title and, you know, the post-match celebration with his kids and just that match in general was just stunning from start to finish. And my favorite part was him threatening to do the Tiger Driver to Buddy at the very end. I thought that was magnificent. As a dad myself, I've been there.
Dude, I can't give this. I'm not even going to play around with minuses or pluses. A. 100% A. I, you know, in the moment when we graded on BR, me and Jeremy yesterday, I'm like, A, definitely an A. And I was on a high. And the more I thought about it, the more I believe in that grade. I mean, certainly it wasn't a perfect show. I agree with kind of John's critiques on those two matches in particular. But overall, match of the year contender, yes. You know, two really great matches, great surprises, an awesome crowd, all-time moments that I'll go back and watch. It has to be an A. I just can't imagine not giving this show an A. It was incredible. I thought, let me ask you first, how did you think that this show ranked compared to last year's All In?
I think match wise, top to bottom, this year's was far superior. It's just tough when you think about like the spectacle and novelty of last year's, just like, it felt groundbreaking for AEW to do that. And, you know, there's what, almost 30,000 more fans in attendance at last year's. And, you know, the one downfall of this year's is you could see a lot of empty seats. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think I will definitely go back and rewatch this show long before I'd ever rewatched last show. I was very critical of the main event last year. I did not really care for it at all. And this year's main event, I've already watched it twice. I watched it again today.
Yeah, dude. I can see myself watching that over and over. We're going to start with that one and talk about that match. That's probably the match we'll talk the most about because this is going to be kind of an abbreviated review, given Justin's condition and the timing of our show. But we had to get on here as, you know, big time, long time Bryan Danielson fans just to talk about just such a marquee moment in his career. So we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I mean, for me too, it was, I thought it was better than last year's. Definitely, certainly from a match quality perspective, it was better. I mean, the crowd reactions were incredible for both. They had a bigger crowd last year. Some of that was the novelty of the first one for sure. Some of it was the drawing power of some of the people on the show. You know, I'll give Punk some credit there, but you know, I don't think they went down simply because Punk's not there. That's ridiculous. It's,
Agreed. It's
because it's the second one. Everyone wanted to be part of the first one for sure. Yeah. It's naturally going to come down a little bit, but this was definitely a superior wrestling show with a hell of a main event. Get to it in a second. Before we do, real quick, you guys, if you are not already subscribed to our channel, please do hit the like button. It's going to help us in the algorithm here on YouTube. If you really want to support the show, you can leave Justin and I a super chat and we'll make sure to feature your comment as we go. If you really want to support the show long-term, become a patron of the show. The link is in the broadcast description. Tons of bonus content, over 150 bonus shows in the archives. And like I said, the immediate reaction show was a Top Rope Nation extra yesterday on Patreon. We do have a new patron who I want to give a shout out to who is in the chat here. I haven't been on the show since he joined, but I want to shout out Andrew. He is a host and a member over at One True Sport as well. So Andrew, really, really appreciate your support. And all of our 40 plus patrons whose names you see going across the bottom of the screen. And of course, you can subscribe to the free show wherever podcasts are found.
I got to say, Andrew, if All In 2024 was a B for you, I got to know what an A show was for you.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that ever existed.
I just can't imagine not giving this an A just because of, I mean, it was incredible. You're never going to get a perfect wrestling show. Yeah, there was some down moments for sure, especially on a 4-hour show. Yeah. But man, those highs were so high. Let's take a look at our Twitter poll here. I'll put that on the screen. We got 100 votes exactly. This is one of the most positive results we've seen in a while because we got 69% nice giving this show an A and 21% giving it a B. I mean, overall, that's 90% A or B. If you're below a B, I mean, you're just trolling. There's no way this is below a B show. Nope. No way. Carl says, even with the bias of being at last year's show, this year's show was far superior. It was. And Justin, we'll start with that main event. All right. For me, there was so many little touches. You know, we talked about in the lead up to this show, whether the stipulation was good or not. Does it give away the winner? But then the news started coming out, you know, that Brian, he like all the injury stuff not getting cleared. That's all legit. He was not cleared for blood and guts. He's really winding it down here. And then like the more I read about that, and then I saw that intro video about his family. I mean, it seemed like a swan song. And then I was fairly confident in picking him going in. But when I saw the intro video for the match, I started to think, oh my God, this actually might be it. And then I got a little worried because I didn't want it to be it, Justin, as a Bryan Danielson fan. Oh my God. Take me through your thoughts as that intro video played and then just the match itself. Anything that you want to call out?
Well, yeah, I mean, first off, I can't remember if I said it on the pod or just, you know, a text message to you, but when they announced that it was a, you know, a career threatening match, my first thought was, well, shit, that gives away the ending. Cause you know, basically everybody thinks he's going to at least wrestle till WrestleDream. But they executed it so well on both Danielson's part and Swerve's part where, you know, it was a little bit believable, you know, it came out, you know, to your point about all of Danielson's injuries that he needs neck surgery before the end of the year. And then there's another part of it that I don't think we've talked about it. And that's, you know, as a fan of professional wrestling, sometime just deep down, it's funner just to buy in to what they're selling to you. And this was the perfect case of that. When the story is executed perfectly, when you're a fan of everybody involved, and you know, if you buy in, even if it's just with your heart and not your head, that you're just going to enjoy what you watch that much more. And that was the experience for me. And I did buy in, even though, you know, they've been promoting Danielson for shows after this one. It's like, screw that. I don't care. I'm buying in for this moment because I know it's going to make it that much more incredible to watch. And it was. Yeah, those pre-match packages were just phenomenal. The fact that his kids were there made you want to buy in even more. In the match itself, in some of the moments in the match, you were like, holy shit, this might be it. And Ryan, this is going to be borderline blasphemy for you, but upon second watch today, and I'm probably way behind on this because I'm sure a lot of people feel this way. This was the first time I ever felt that, like, is Bryan Danielson my favorite wrestler of all time? Has he overcome Bret the Hitman Hart? Because part of me is there, man. Like, you know, being able to basically experience his career from start to finish, it's just been the treat of treats as a professional wrestling fan.
You know, I've told you many times, we've talked, you know, about our friendship history and working at the store 20 years ago and making a wrestling list. And for me, when I would make my Mount Rushmore list of pro wrestlers, I had three automatics: Bret Hart, Randy Savage, and Ric Flair. And the fourth spot was always kind of rotational. He is cemented in there for me.
Yes.
He is 100%. And he has been for a little while. I mean,
yeah,
just, you made a great point. Being able to watch his entire career, I started seeing this guy tape trading in Ring of Honor, you know, over 20 years ago. And when he finally got to WWE, and, you know, they did the NXT thing, he worked a house show about a mile and a half from my house right now. And I took my wife to it in 2011. We had just gotten engaged. And she always clearly remembers this after when he really blew up in WWE. But I was always talking about, like, this is the guy. And he was on that house show, and I was like, she's not even a wrestling fan. I'm like, that's the dude. He is going to be the guy. Just watch this guy. And she always remembered it. That was Brian. And then to see his rise, you know, through WWE, the WrestleMania 30 moment, which I want to contrast this with here in a second. And then, you know, the forced retirement and the comeback, which, Justin, we were at WrestleMania 34. And
yes,
then
we were.
And then we were there when he debuted in AEW at All Out 21 as well, man. We got to see some of the great moments of his career. It's going to live on for a little while. I hope we can see him live again. But, I mean, just to experience so many of those highs as a fan has to, like, bump him up in the list. So I totally get where you're coming from. And then the match itself, all those false finishes. I'm going to go to a chat here in a second. But, like, I believe so much that, like, this actually, it could be it. And, you know, when he was barely kicking out of, you know, big pressure, you know, and all of the kicks and the stomp and everything, it was like, man, you were biting on every single one. John Hope said in the chat, there were people crying in the crowd after the ending. So many false finishes got everyone in a frenzy. I texted our buddy Liam O'Rourke, who was there too, after the show. And I told him, dude, this is the first time I've had tears in my eyes watching pro wrestling, at least since WrestleMania 30. I mean, for a long time. And I was watching with a friend here whose daughter, our daughters are friends, and they wanted to have a party to watch it. So we all got together. And I think, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he was tearing up too. I'm pretty sure he can let me know on text. I mean, it was just one of those moments, and just the way that they intertwined the family, as you said, the way they shot it, my God, the way Brian was crawling towards his family and saying, I'm sorry, as it seemed like he was almost beat. And then better yet, when he did the comeback and he was slowly rising and getting kicked and he was saying, I love you so much. And he kept rising. I mean, freaking goosebumps. You're doing it right now. That was perfection. Dude, pro wrestling does not get any better than that. I mean, that is primo stuff.
Eat your heart out, Shawn Michaels, you know, with WrestleMania 24, where that felt a bit melodramatic. Mm-hmm. This felt wholly heartfelt. And my favorite part about it was that, like, I was watching it and thinking about it in two ways. You know, it's like he's saying, I'm sorry. You know, he took the house call shot. And I was thinking, it's like, wait, is he saying sorry? Because, like, he's not done yet. You know, you could look at it that way. It's like, he's like, I'm going to keep going here. And then, to your point, the part where he kept standing up, you know, I love you, I love you. All that stuff was just so freaking good. And we can't get any of that if he didn't have the right dance partner for this match. Swerve was incredible. Even when he came out, his outfit coming out with the Swerve the Eighth was fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that. And anybody who's concerned about, like, you know, is this the end of Swerve's push? No, man. In the pre-show, he signed a new contract. He has top guy aura now. And let's not forget, he literally brushed off a Bisaiku knee from Danielson just in the court. Like, it was all so good.
I got up on the screen right now a tweet from Swerve earlier where he quote tweeted a quote from Brian from the press scrum, where Brian said, without a doubt, this was the favorite moment of my entire career. And Swerve quoted and said, likewise.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
I mean, this is just the beginning of his career as a world champ top guy in AEW. So, I mean, Swerve has a long, bright future ahead of him, and he does not lose anything from losing to Danielson. And we've been saying it for a long time. We think the title will go right back to him when Danielson eventually drops it.
Yeah, Carl in the chat, he says, the match was an emotional roller coaster. I loved it. Taken as a whole package, pre-match, in-ring, and post-match, it had Savage Warrior feels for me as an iconic moment for a promotion. Great call, Carl.
Yes.
Love that. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that this obviously hit well for everybody, but I want to add, just being a father like we are added an even like another level to it, just with his kids there and the way he was calling out, I love you so much. Like, it had to me, it added even more to it. Just being a dad, like, you really felt that in your heart. And Oh my God. I could rave about this match for hours. It was just that good.
I really felt it in my heart, you know, at the end celebration when it was, you know, I think right before he was pretending to do the Tiger Driver to Buddy.
Yeah.
When he was like telling him like, come here, bud, come here. And Buddy was just more interested in chasing after the confetti. I felt that in my heart as a dad, when you're like trying to get your kid to do something funny that they've showed you before and you're trying to show it for other people and they just have no interest in repeating it, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so great to have, you know, Buddy, Birdie and Bree out there all in the corner, and they, you know, they played a part in the emotional build of everything, and yeah, just perfection. Let me ask you, and you know, Ryan Huffman, he's a guy who was at Mania 30. He's calling that out in the chat. How does this compare to WrestleMania 30 for you? Another, you know, crowning emotional achievement of Bryan's career.
It's interesting just because they're so very different, you know, because that was the crowning moment, you know, for Danielson, WrestleMania 30, that is, where, you know, he is a top guy now. That was his coronation, if you will, for that, even though, you know, he'd been world heavyweight champ before mm-hmm. that, but that was like a Money in the Bank thing and never really taken seriously on the card.
Yeah.
And just being able, you know, watching that and where I was as a wrestling fan, that was incredible to see this guy who I'd appreciated for so long and never thought that he could get to that level, especially in Vince's system. That just felt miraculous. Especially with, you know, the entire story going into it, but that's, you know, that's followed immediately by, you know, him basically having to retire. You know, he got injured shortly thereafter, didn't come back until, you know, the next year. And then he was gone for what felt like good after that. Mm-hmm. This one was just a little bit more heartwarming to me. I think just, you know, everything you said with the whole family stuff and where he's at in his career. And honestly, I'm sure there's a big portion of our audience that will hate this. To me, it just means more because of where he did it. You know, we're so desperate to have this alternative, and it just means a whole lot more to me having it happened there instead of, you know, WWE, who doesn't really, you know, need a Danielson. You know, they're a machine. I mean, they can put up anybody and it won't really matter. This was just they're neck and neck for me. How about you?
Yeah, I think that this one means more to me for some of the reasons that you said as a fan. I don't know how Bryan would, you know, rank it personally. That'd be interesting to hear him answer that, and I'm sure he'll be asked in the future. Now I kind of want to go to what Andrew saying in the chat. So he says they built 30 better, but it helped that the fans hijacked the direction and made them change directions, and we all felt involved. Certainly there was a personal connection with the audience because they did make them change direction. That was not the intended direction, so I can't give WWE all the credit there. Mm-hmm. The fans made the change. It's a little bit apples and oranges though, because this was a shorter build. Obviously, you know, he won the Owen in what, early July? So they had like a month and a half to build. It's a different situation. I would definitely give the nod to the build up to Mania 30 is superior because it went on for months and months and months. And the thing about 30 was that, you know, you called out, he had been world champion. He had won the WWE title at SummerSlam, but he had it like briefly, and there was the cash in with Orton and stuff.
Yeah.
But then when he won it at 30, it was undisputed with both belts. And even, what, 4 years earlier when I was going to that house show with my wife, when Bryan really wasn't anything to the national audience, even though the hardcore fans all knew him, I said he was the guy because I said that he was awesome. But like, I don't know if I myself ever believed he'd be the face of the company. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that made 30 so great is that he was such an underdog to actually get like a marquee Mania, one of them on the 10 anniversaries, WrestleMania 30, the Superdome, the shot of both belts, the confetti. Yep. It felt surreal. And it was like a tears in your eyes moment for pro wrestling. But I think that what this one has that doesn't have is everything that's happened since. His career was taken away from him. He went through numerous injuries. He clawed himself back. He comes back at WWE, has some special things happen, leaves the company, goes to an upstart promotion, has dream match after dream match, but the dude is so selfless that he wanted nothing to do with a title run, even though we've been saying for years now on the show he should be world champion. And finally, Tony drags him, kicking and screaming, he's going to be world champion. This is, you know, this is the move. And we've said that for years. There's no way Tony Khan doesn't want him to be world champion. But it's just like something about, we thought we were never going to see this guy wrestle again. The thing that 30 had was we didn't think it would happen. And here, we didn't think it was going to happen because we didn't think the guy was ever going to wrestle again. We didn't think there would ever be another wrestling promotion on this level going to Wembley Stadium. And now we actually are up on the end of his career and his family is involved. He has children now. He didn't have that at WrestleMania 30. That element, it just, it puts it a little bit over the top for me because it is like the swan song element after everything we've seen post 2014. It just makes it a little bit more emotional for me, but I mean, both are incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw it brought up in the chat, although I completely disagree with basically everything this person is saying. My one issue with the match was Swerve tapping out at the end. I do think there's a story to tell there with, you know, Swerve on the pre-show signing a new contract. He has an out story-wise there, you know, where he can say, hey, in the moment, I was thinking about that contract in the money and I didn't want to lose out on that, you know, while I'm in this submission move. So he can just come back that way and that can be his excuse as a character as to why he tapped out. But I think I would have preferred a pinfall, but I, that is just the most nitpicky of nitpicks I could make on an otherwise perfect match.
Same. I would have had one of the psycho knee, but it's, yeah, it's minuscule for me. I also didn't really mind the Hangman thing. I know some people minded that, but I kind of like, I'm sort of sure that Swerve's going to say, oh, you took my focus off the match, you know, and you threw me off. And I like that because it sets up another match between those two who have had a great feud in just 2 weeks. I assume they're going to wrestle it all out. And I like that. He didn't get that involved in the match, but he was a little bit of a distraction.
Yeah.
So he can logically set up another pay-per-view match between those two guys.
Yeah.
He was the guy to get involved.
And it would have been bad if Danielson had won like immediately after that, but there were still, they kept going a little bit afterwards. So yeah, that didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
I mean, hell yeah, let's tell some stories.
So Brian's going to be on Dynamite. He's going to talk about his plans. We don't know how often he's going to wrestle. I've seen people fantasy booking him wrestling at All Out. He might, but like, man, the condition of his neck is, I would be kind of shocked if he wrestled another pay-per-view match in 2 weeks. I would assume more like Grand Slam, but nobody knows what he's going to say on Wednesday night. So we'll see. I mean, apparently he's been working without a contract. So, I mean, nobody knows. You know, we'll talk about that in the future. With the build to All Out here in a couple of weeks. But man, Justin, we have been raving about this match for almost a half hour, so we got to move on.
Well, that's fine. I mean, because honestly, the rest of the card, I think we can just hit real quick in more of a macro sense. I will say my second favorite match of the night was the Casino Gauntlet, which was just fun from top to bottom. Well, I shouldn't say bottom because honestly, it did not care for Christian winning it. You know, he's a heel. I really don't think for a second he's actually going to become AEW champion. I'm pretty over this whole will he, won't he with Luchasaurus. I think they should have pulled the trigger on wherever they're going with that a while ago. But holy crap, you know, Ricochet, Nigel McGuinness, Zack Sabre Jr., just an incredibly fun match.
Yeah. I mean, this might be controversial, Justin, but I thought it's not the same kind of match, obviously, but with like the surprise entrance and in the intervals, it's similar to a Royal Rumble. It had that feeling. As far as like surprise opponents go and or match people in the match, this topped a lot of the recent Royal Rumbles to me. I just thought it was way more entertaining to get Nigel McGuinness out there. Never in a million years.
And
there's been rumors about him coming back, but I just did not even think of him as getting involved in this match. Ricochet, we all kind of expected. It was cool to see him. Yeah, I love this match too. I think I would go probably MJF Ospreay over this as my next favorite, but after that, it might be this one. It was really entertaining.
Yeah, like I said, no complaints on this one outside of Christian winning. And Ricochet looked like $1 million. His WWE run kind of killed a lot of the enthusiasm I had for him. So I'm not expecting, you know, top of the card main event future world champion in his AEW run, but you know, he's obviously gonna add a lot to the shows, and everybody's already fantasy booking the rematch from the Best of the Super Juniors with Ospreay. So there's a lot of intriguing matches there for Ricochet.
Yeah. I don't, to Ryan Huffman's point, I think they'll wait on Ricochet and Ospreay for quite a while. 'Cause Ospreay made a comment that he's going to have to kind of build himself up to get to that point, like earn the title shot. Definitely not in 2 weeks. I think that'll be down the line, but I do think they'll do Hangman and Swerve at All Out.
Mm-hmm.
I think like Jamie Hayter and Saraya will probably happen at All Out. You know, we'll see how they build it up, but there's definitely a lot of interesting things coming out of the show. I didn't hate Christian winning. I thought that Hangman should have won, but you know, whatever, it's fine. Christian's great. We like Christian.
I thought Nigel was winning for sure when he came out, because obviously, you know, all he does on commentary is give shit to Brian, but
that has spoiled it though. I thought of that too, but yes. Then I was like, well, then Brian's definitely winning, because they're gonna set that one up.
Totally agree. And that's a dynamite match too, I think, at this point in both their careers. I can't imagine a world where they would even come close to equalizing the matches in their past.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty okay with it. And hey, props to Tony Khan for forking over the money for the Oasis, fucking in the bushes. Yeah. Especially considering, you know, all the rumors are Oasis might be reuniting tomorrow.
Yeah. That was the big thing in the news yesterday too. So yeah, crazy. But yeah, that was super entertaining. Obviously the rematch between MJF and Ospreay, it was a very good match. I think the TV match was a little bit better, but it was a really good match. I liked the presentation. I know some people didn't like the video game stuff with Assassin's Creed. I liked it fine. It was a little much to have like the release date on the banners, but like, look, that's what they had to do to get the rights to intertwine that in his entrance. By the time he got down to the ring, I mean, the pop, I mean, the fireworks, you know, the home country, man, it was incredible. And I mean, he's obviously one of their biggest stars moving forward. But yeah, I mean, match was fantastic. Right result. He gets the win back. We all expected that. Brings back the old international title, ditches the US thing. I did like that MJF was essentially, he comes down the ramp in the Apollo Creed outfit from Rocky IV. I really wish that they could have got James Brown living in America, but I, you know, I got a feel that they probably blew their music budget on the show elsewhere, including with the final countdown. That would have been awesome. I liked that he was wearing the Lex Luger.
Yes. That might've been the best part of the show.
I turned to Jay, who I was watching the show with. I was like, aren't those the Lex Luger tights? Incredible. Now he could have used bigger tights. If you notice, he kept having to like pull his tights out a little bit. Max did throughout the match. They were a little small on him, but nice little details in the match. Really good stuff. Definitely delivered. You have any other thoughts on that one?
No. Can I transition to, I think, outside of Brian, I think the biggest talking point for the show?
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff you can't know until it actually happens, so I'm not going to fault Tony Khan here, but I think he did a real disservice to the women just by the placement of the two title matches. Baker and Mercedes, I thought, was pretty outright bad.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd was just not into it. They were probably a little burnt out. The buildup to that match was left a lot to be desired. And I think they would have been better served by being in the Tony Storm and Mariah May position. What was that, second or third?
Mm-hmm. Second, I believe. Yeah.
And you know, in the buildup for Storm and May was so good that I think that could have carried, you know, if it had been in the same spot as, you know, Mercedes and Baker were actually at. Because that match, that women's world title match, was pretty fantastic. Mariah May is kind of just like Swerve. She's made now, you know. She played the part to perfection. My only complaint with that match was I thought they should have kicked it off with the heat instead of the stare down. They should have just gone right to blows, But again, kind of like with Swerve tapping out, that's just a nitpick in an otherwise pretty solid matchup. So I think if you want to improve the show, I think you should have just flip-flopped those two matches.
Agree. Love the women's title match. I was a little surprised when it went on second.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love the little details in that too. Mariah slapping her own mother. Definitely the right winner for sure. I think, you know, we're going to see Tony go down this like psychotic hole now where she's totally losing her mind after losing the belt. You know, she was like giggling and flailing around the ring after she lost and all of that. So that was really good. Jericho and Hook did not belong on this show. Did not need a Fozzy concert, did not need this match. Neither of these guys are really over right now at all.
Just to clarify real quick for John Hope, I am talking about swapping the two women's title matches on the card.
Yeah.
Mercedes and Baker should have been number two and Storm and May in their, you know, previous position.
Yeah. I think Britt's just been off since she came back. She just looks a little rusty in the ring, I think. And yeah, that match just did not really click. I agree with you on that. As I said, Hook and Jericho could have done without that one. I probably would have had that on the pre-show, to be honest with you.
Although I love the response that Big Bill is getting. I think he's ready for a bigger push.
Yeah, he was a hero over in the UK during the tour. Do you think that Perry and Darby had time cut? Because when Darby came out, I haven't seen reporting on this, and maybe it's out there, but when Darby came out, he looked pissed, just the way he shoved the camera and stuff. It wasn't, to me, like a character thing. It was that he looked like he was angry.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, especially for like a coffin match to only go like 10 minutes. And I was stunned watching it. Like, I had to rewind it, you know, because I was dealing with the blinking issue, but I had to rewind it twice because like it just felt like the ending came out of nowhere. They had a lot more to do. But, you know, I don't know what, you know, AEW can do at that point. There's not like a whole lot I would have cut out from any other matches. And Jack and Darby have been, you know, feuding for so long that just give them all the time they want it all out.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. I mean, the triple threat tag match was fine. They just got to do something on this tag division. It is lacking, you know, big time right now.
It felt like there's some chemistry issues in that match too. I didn't care for that one at all. And I'm a huge FTR fan, but
yeah. And I mean the four-way ladder that opened, what'd you think of that one?
I think I don't need any more ladder matches in my life for a long time.
Agree.
Although props to Pac. That was cool that he got his moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know we didn't go in depth on all those matches, but we wanted to get something out there. Justin's powering through a sickness, obviously, but we mostly just wanted to get on here and rave about Bryan Danielson. And
hell yeah.
We did that. So anything else on the show you want to talk about, Justin, before we wrap? It's going to be a brief one, as we said.
I just would like if we could briefly touch on the other news of today.
Okay, so we'll change topics here real quick. We wanted to mention that Sid Vicious, Psycho Sid, has apparently passed away. The news came out, it was his son, right? And made the post on Facebook. And obviously kind of shocked to see it. You know, Sid is still a pretty young man, relatively speaking.
I think 64, I think I read.
64, yeah. Or maybe 63, I think he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. 63, going to turn 64 pretty soon. Yeah, at the end of this year, he would have turned 64. So, I mean, yeah, 63 is too young to go. Just, you know, super unfortunate. Anyone who listens to this show knows that we were supposed to have him as a guest years ago. Kyle and myself were going to interview him. In fact, we had him on the line on the phone, and then he had to cancel the interview, and we joked about that over the years. But I will say, I had a chance to, you know, talk with him and setting up that interview and texted with him a little bit. The dude was hilarious. I've told you, Justin, before about some of those texts that he sent me when we were going to do that interview. He was a funny guy. And, you know, it's unfortunate we didn't get to get that interview on our show. But, man, what a force in pro wrestling. I remember I always said to people back when I was a kid, like, of all the wrestlers, I mean, outside of Andre the Giant, this is like the dude that if I met him in a alley would scare the shit out of me. He just fit the profile of a pro wrestler so well. I always thought he was super entertaining. I mean, his interviews with Mean Gene at WrestleMania 8 were just hilarious.
When you think about his like 89 to 92 run, in my estimation, he's like he's exactly the reason why some fans believe wrestling is real.
If
you watch him in that time frame, he is legit scary. And you know, we're talking about on this show about how some wrestlers just have that aura. I mean, Sid was the epitome of that. You know, he was so good that he outshined two of the biggest baby faces in WWE history, where the crowd basically turned on Hogan because they wanted Sid. They basically turned on HBK because they wanted Sid. If you just want to watch basically like a 30-second clip of why Sid was the man, just watch his entrance from Survivor Series 96. Oh,
so good. So good. Who's the man? He was just so believable. He just, like I said, he had that aura of believability. I mean, like, he's not putting on 5-star bangers or anything, but you don't need to do that. He didn't need to do that. He was a big dude that looked tough as hell, that was, you know, a guy who could draw money. And that's what he did. And he also liked softball a lot. And he made it work for him. Look, people, no matter how many times he took off to play softball, they were calling him to come back, weren't they, Justin? There's a reason for that.
Yeah, he was like kind of the ultimate, just jumping from, federation, just because he did what he wanted. He didn't care, you know, what Vince or the higher ups at WCW wanted from him. Sid did what Sid wanted, and Sid wanted to play softball.
And you know what? On a certain level, I respect it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Rest in peace to the big man.
Yeah, rest in peace. We had to call that out. Just happened today. So, yeah, it's too bad. We would like to have had him for a lot longer. But, just 63 years old. He had been battling cancer. So, yeah. Unfortunate. Rest in peace, Sid. Justin, I appreciate you powering through the COVID to do this. This was a lot of fun. And we will be back later this week, most likely with a flagship, or actually we got Bash of Berlin, so it probably won't be a Thursday show this week. We'll do something for Bash of Berlin this weekend. Maybe we'll have a Patreon show drop, you know, maybe previewing Bash at Berlin in the interim. And then I think next week we're going to be recording our TRN Classics on SummerSlam 94, which is our August Classics. Just getting real busy here at the end of the month. Yeah. We're probably going to get that next week. And then All Out's that weekend. So a lot of stuff coming up, you guys. We appreciate your support so much, especially the patrons. You guys make this all possible and keep us doing this. So thank you for making it possible. And we will catch you all again very soon. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy professional wrestling. What a time.
Peace.